Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Talk Spicy. I'm Coach Gene Clemens. Thank you for joining me wherever you are joining me. Rate the show, comment, agree, disagree, but whatever you do, keep it spicy. Five-star ratings are appreciated. And if you're joining me on the YouTube channel, make sure that you like, make sure that you subscribe. It was very serious today. If any of you that follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, pretty much everywhere that I have seen media consumed, a lot of what I'm seeing has to do with HBCU members, normally alumni, you know. My apologies, not only announcements, but you know, coughing in your face. By the way, leave a comment about what you think of the new framing. I'm trying out some things. Want to make sure that I'm giving you, you know, what you want. And yes, by the way, Sean W, I do make these videos at work. I'm not technically working now. This is after work is over. But yes, I do make them at work. For some of you that don't know what I do, I teach journalism. So I kind of teach a lot of this stuff to my students. This is actually how this podcast started. Almost 3 years ago. Well, actually, almost 3 years or 2 full years ago now. I started this podcast as an assignment for my students in my journalism class. This is back when we were all virtual, so that would have been that 2020 year when we came back. After school got shut down early, we came back for 2020, and I was faced with a journalism class that was supposed to be more of a broadcast journalism class, and I was trying to find different ways to get them involved in online, and so I had all of them start a podcast, and I told them that they didn't have to do any more than 5 to 10 minutes per episode, and to make sure that they felt like we were all invested together, I started this podcast, and 302 episodes later, here I am. One of the things that I have been very disturbed by, though, is HBCU graduates or HBCU or people who have attended HBCUs believing that they are the only people who are qualified to speak on behalf of HBCUs. Now, here's the problem that I see. The black people that I've heard who have had disparaging things to say about the HBCU institutions, they have come from it from a place of love, that they have wanted to shed light. They wanted to shed light on the inequalities at HBCUs compared to their PWI counterparts. And unfortunately, in order to shed light on things, you have to bring up the negatives. You have to bring up the negatives. Now, this has hit the mainstream because of the Ed Reed situation. And the thing that I don't like about it is that a lot of the HBCU alumni have used this and the Coach Prime situation to say that they have to somehow gatekeep and or keep certain black people away from HBCUs. So now if we're not home to start with, we can never come home. If we never attended an HBCU, now we are automatically disqualified for wanting better things for HBCUs. Because we never attended an HBCU, that means that now we can never go and work at an HBCU. We can never, does that mean we can't send our kids to an HBCU? Because I would never want to be separate from my kids if my kids wanted to go to an HBCU. If I wanted to send my kids to an HBCU, but I didn't go to an HBCU, does that mean I can't do so? Like this idea that you have HBCU black people and then PWI black people is exactly what they want. This is what they want us to do. This is exactly how they want to separate us. This is like the dark skin versus light skin black people argument. This is the dark skin, oh, well, we're the real black. And light-skinned people, you guys were different black. You guys were the house Negroes, and I was dark. So I would have been in the, who cares? We're all slaves at the end of the day, right? So this idea that we've found another way to put a wedge between us as a collective, we found a way to separate us once again. It's saddening. It's frustrating. Now, look, I get it. I get it, HBCU people. You feel it. You feel protective of the universities that you attended, of the colleges that you attended, and you don't want to see them bashed. I get that. I also don't believe you are working in the best interest of your alma mater by shielding If you're going to go as far as to shield, let me make sure I'm not losing connectivity here. If you want to go as far as to shield the outside world from the inequalities that exist at HBCUs versus the PWIs, then how do we ever get them to that level? Yes, we know. Yes, we know that these schools are dramatically underfunded than their PWI counterparts. Nobody is disagreeing with that. But if we bring up corruption that has come out, that has come to light, if we bring up people lying in their own pockets while your school stays poor, that's not the time to say, oh, you Negroes don't know what you're talking about. You black people can't talk about this because you didn't go here. You need as many people talking about corruption if it takes the dollars away from the kids that are going there. As a coach, as a father, as a person who loves education and continues to want to get more education. I had said, yo, the next time I go back to college, it's going to be at an HBCU. How did I know that I would not be accepted by HBCU people because I didn't get my undergrad degree from an HBCU? I'll do you one better. When I went to start coaching in college, I applied to several HBCUs, and not just all of the bigger name ones. I applied to Division II HBCUs. Did not get a phone call back. I had a phone conversation with one HBTU D2 head football coach that will remain anonymous. He was at Kentucky State. I had sent the gentleman at that time several players that I had coached that he had recruited. He knew that I had been at schools that were on the same level of college coaching. He understood my pedigree as a coach, still did not even give me an opportunity to come in. None of these schools were high-level schools. None of them had money that they could pay me like a high school could pay me as a coach. I wanted to be a part of it. Now, it didn't happen for me, so I took the opportunity to get a graduate degree from another school that was a PWI school. I went where the opportunity was. That doesn't mean that I don't have love for HBCUs. That doesn't mean that I don't want the best for the HBCU institution. Why should I be eliminated from talking about an HBCU simply because I did not go to an HBCU? My brother went to an HBCU. I can't talk about an HBCU, even though I had a family member that went to HBCUs. I have funded other young men so that they could go to HBCUs out of my own pocket. So because I didn't spend the money out of my own pocket for my education to an HBCU, but I did for another person's education to HBCU, am I still eliminated from talking about HBCUs? How ridiculous is this? Ladies and gentlemen, black is black. At the end of the day, when they look at us, they don't say, oh, he was a black man, but he went to an HBCU, and he was a black man, but he went to a PWI. They say, there's two black men right there. Right? Like, I don't think anybody should talk without knowing what they're talking about. So I hear people out there, and shout out to Tim Butler, who says that people should comment, but they should comment and be informed about what they're talking about. I don't even believe that we need to know the history of how we got to this place. We just need to know that we're at this place now. And it's wrong. And the more people we get talking about it, the more people who bring it to light, the better opportunity we have for everything to get better. And at the end of the day, if it is black men and women riding to improve the conditions at an HBCU, then those who have gone to an HBCU should not be opposed to that. We have to be humble. We have to be humble. You can't say, oh, we need help, and then diss the help. You can't say we need assistance and then diss the assistance. Ed Reed came in without a contract and went to work immediately. Looked on the inside and said, my God, this is bad. Brought it to light, and everybody called him, all of those people called him a clout chaser. Ed Reed, a guy who has never sought the spotlight ever. When have you seen Ed Reed trying to be on shows and do podcasts and all that? That's not what Ed Reed does. Ed Reed is legitimately about helping. And he was called a clout chaser. He was ridiculed. He didn't just go off on his own. He didn't just get on live and start talking crazy. He got on live, and when people started talking crazy to him, that was his response. Was it the most professional? No. It was not. No, it was not. Should he be held accountable for that? Yes, he should. Was that the reason that he was fired? Or we shouldn't even say fired. Let's be real about it. He didn't even have a contract yet. Was that the reason that Bethune-Cookman didn't want to ratify the contract that they had? Is that why they didn't want to go forward with the plan to hire him? No. Why they wanted to go forward with the plan that they hired him, why they didn't want to go forward is because he was giving away too much of the dirty laundry. He was sharing too much of the business. Oh no, you can't bust us out like this, because then people are going to know that maybe we're not on the up and up. Maybe not all of the black people that are on the inside actually mean good for you. I told you already in the other episode about Ed Reed, a guy who made grown men in a locker room pick up trash because that wasn't a championship mindset. That wasn't a championship culture. So it's not surprising to see this happen. That's the thing that he can control immediately. And shout out to Sean W. Sean mentions it because I talked about it on the other pod. I mean, on another episode, we've seen the video from Ed Reed from years ago where he talked about it. But this idea that we are now pinning black people versus black people in a, I went to HBCU and you didn't, so I'm the only one qualified to talk about it. What? What? We're doing that now? We want to push the people who did not go to an HBCU away? You want to insulate HBCUs to only the people who have gone to HBCUs in the past? You know how many people you are shutting out? You know how many people you are shutting out that might want to do good things, that may want to help to improve the conditions so that they feel comfortable sending their daughters and their sons and their players to HBCUs because they feel like they're getting the best out of their education. I have really good friends who've sent their young men and their young women to HBCUs only to have those experiences be horrible. Whether it be lack of facilities, whether it be lack of funding to do the things that they need, lack of getting their refund checks on time so that they could pay for their housing and things of that nature. Lack of an infrastructure outside of the classroom, because inside of the classroom, everybody understands they're getting a top-notch education. These professors that work at these universities, these HBCUs, they are top of the line. They could work anywhere. But some of the infrastructure that we see within these HBCUs, because they don't have the funding that other schools might have, fall short. I have really good friends. I'm not just talking about somebody I kind of sort of know. I mean really good friends who have struggled with these things. Of course I want to see those conditions better. You want to know why I was so excited to see Coach Prime go to Jackson State? Because I knew he would draw people into HBCUs who never paid attention to him before. You know why I wanted Ed Reed to go to Bethune-Cookman? Why I wanted him to go to Morgan State? Why I wanted him to go and follow Prime after he left to go to Jackson State? Because I know that Ed Reed is about these kids. He doesn't have ulterior motives. Does it mean he's going to be there forever? No. I'll never tell you somebody's going to be somewhere forever. There's no more Buddy Pughs. There's no more Buddy Pughs. And quite honestly, you should not want it. A really awesome boss, probably the best boss I ever had. Shout out to David Hersey of Bridgeton Academy. He's no longer there, obviously, because he says that when you go somewhere, 10 years is the mark. You want to make changes. You want to build something. You want to implement something that hadn't been there before. And then it's time to move on and let fresh blood come in to continue on the mission. I've always thought about that. Man, you build something up, you get it popping, and now you leave? But his idea was, once you've done as much as you can do, it's time to move on. Well, sometimes that doesn't have a like shelf life. What else were some of these people want to do? Do you really want somebody there for 30 years? I certainly don't want a university president to be university president for more than 10 years. I need new blood. I need new life. That's at any institution, HBCU, PWI, I don't care. I don't want a president to be there 30 years. I don't want an athletic director to be there 20 years. You have to let new voices and new life come. I have a really good friend who's an athletic director at an HBCU. He did not go to an HBCU. Should he resign because he didn't go to an HBCU? By the way, he's worked at several HBCUs. He's been an athletic director at several HBCUs. A great friend, a great mentor, a great man. Great for HBCUs. I applauded it. Should he not be at an HBCU because he did not go to an HBCU? He didn't get his undergrad at HBCU. He didn't get his master's degree at HBCU. I'm not exactly sure where he got his doctorate from. Maybe his doctorate came from an HBCU, but he was at an HBCU before he had a doctorate. Should he not be there because he's not an HBCU grad? You see how crazy that is? Should I not shine light on HBCUs? I was one of the only people. Myself, Emory Hunt, Football Game Plan, we've been constantly banging the table for HBCUs. We've constantly said the HBCUs shouldn't have their own combine, that they should be included in the combine, the overall combine. And if they are going to have their combine, then their conditions should be to the same level as the conditions at the real combine. I was appalled at the first HBCU combine being held adjacent to the Senior Bowl in conditions that I probably would not ever test my regular players in. It was super cold. It was windy. Man, I banged the table. This is wrong. Should I not do that? Should I not stand up for HBCUs because I didn't go to an HBCUs? Should I turn my back on black people because I did not go to a historically black college or university? Should I act like I don't see what I see? Should I act like I don't see what I see because I did not go to a historically black college or university? Last time I checked, when I look in the mirror, I still see a black man. When I talk to people, the first thing they see is a black man. They probably assume, as an articulate black man that I went, and as an outspoken one, that I went to an HBCU. I don't ride for the schools that I actually graduated from as much as I ride for HBCUs. Should I stop doing that? Anything that separates us, anything that puts a wedge between us is not a positive thing. All we have is us. All we have is us. I refuse to start beefs and wars and go at other black people. I refuse to start beefs and wars and go at other black people when our jobs are aligned, when our missions are aligned. HBCU graduates, you want the best for your college or university, for your alma mater. And so do all of the black people who went to PWIs. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Talk Spicy. I'm Coach Gene Clemens. You do this thing a few times a week. Rate the show, comment, agree, disagree, but whatever you do, keep it spicy. 5-star ratings are appreciated. And if you join me on the YouTube channel, make sure that you like, make sure you subscribe. Leave a comment, tell a friend. Until next time, peace.